Well, this will be part six of a series covering the introduction to my website, authorityresearch.com. I'll repeat what I ended the last session with. All I have to do in order to own your child, that is to turn your child against you and your authority, is place him or her in with a group of children, not judging, condemning, casting anyone out, except those fighting against the group's participation, requiring everyone to be positive, that is, tolerant of ambiguity, justifying sin, and not negative, that is, judging, condemning, casting out those who sin, and ask them how they feel and what they think when they're told what they can and cannot do. The dialoguing of their opinions to a consensus justifies their self-interest, along with their belongingness to the group, which has now become more important to them than their parents, that is, their parents' authority. In dialogue, when it comes to behavior, the child, deciding right and wrong behavior according to his or her carnal desires, that is, lusts of the moment, setting aside, suspending, as upon a cross, any command, rule, fact, or truth that is getting in the way of the pleasure of the moment and the approval of his or her peers, his or her concern being with the here and now, that is, what can I get out of this situation and or object, people or person for myself, is God. In discussion, he or she is not God, with doing right and not wrong according to the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth having the final say. His or her concern being with the there and then, that is, with what he or she has been told in the past, and the consequence of his or her thoughts and actions in the future. Now, I've been working towards this quote all along. Probably should have had it up front. This is from Boehm and Pete, Science, Order, and Creativity. Quote, in an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relative fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. Let me repeat. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. The negation, quote unquote, the negation of the father's authority in the mind of the children, controlling their thoughts, thus their actions, is what contemporary education, with its emphasis upon the affective domain, is all about. Even in the private, parochial, Christian, and home school. If you are more concerned about your child's social life than where he or she is going to spend eternity, you are a socialist. You can deny that all day long, but you cannot refute it. To be silent in the midst of unrighteousness is to make unrighteousness the norm. The guilty conscience is engendered from doing wrong and not right according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. That is, not doing the Father's will. The superego, quote-unquote, from stimulus response, approach pleasure and avoid pain, which includes the missing out on pleasure. And I'm going to quote Brown here. The guilty conscience, now this is a Marxist interpretation of the conscience. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, now part of ourselves. Now, Dr. Robert Tijanovits, in his book, The Meaning of Community in Community Policing, he is not in favor of traditional family, but he does an excellent explanation of it. He writes, the personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control. refraining from deviant behavior, even when it can be easily perpetrated. In other words, the person can be deviant and easily do it, but his conscience prevents him from doing it. Then he writes, the family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation and conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. So you'd think he would promote this way of thinking? No, he says we must use crime to gain access to the community later on in his book. It is the guilty conscience that retains a father's authority in society. The person refusing to compromise, that is, set aside, also known as suspend, what he has been told in order to initiate and sustain relationship with others who are doing wrong. So the guilty conscience doesn't cooperate. Superego development is conceived as the incorporation of moral standards of society, quote-unquote, Book 2, Affective Domain. This is Bloom's taxonomy. Read it again. It's not the conscience they're focusing on. They're focusing on the superego. Superego development, Bloom writes, is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. The conscience is of the father. The superego is of society, which is compromise. In other words, it is society that engenders right and wrong behavior, justifying compromise, that is, setting aside, that is, suspending what you have been told, in order to initiate and sustain relationships. If society is to be rid of the father's authority that gets in the way of a relationship, the guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting has to be negated. Negate the fear of judgment, condemnation, being cast out, when it comes to establishing behavior, and the guilty conscience is negated, effectively negating the father's authority in the person's thoughts, affecting his actions. This is a quote from Kurt Lewin in A Dynamic Theory of Personality. This is a classic two sentences. He explains how the conscience is developed, and he explains how to negate it, because it's the conscience that keeps the father's authority in the community. And if you want to get rid of the father's authority, you've got to get rid of the guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting. Quote, the negative valence of a forbidden object, which in itself attracts the child, in other words, the guilty conscience, thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, that is, if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative valence also disappears. This is what being positive, tolerating, justifying lust, and not negative, judging, condemning, casting out the one who lusts, is all about. Those oven for the father's authority system are prejudiced, quote-unquote, against using dialogue, I feel and I think, when it comes to what the father says, always including, thou shalt surely die. That is, accountability to the father for their thoughts and actions in their conversation with herself and with others. Those of and for the world are prejudiced against using discussion. I know established commands, rules, facts, and truth, what the father says when it comes to the lust of the moment that the world is stimulating, leaving out and denying, thou shalt surely die. That is, accountability to the father for their thoughts and actions in their conversation with herself and with others. So in dialogue, it's I feel and I think, you're leaving the father out. In discussion, you're using him. You're referencing his commands, rules, facts, and truth. So if you want to do what you want to do, counter to what you've been told, you go to dialogue. You don't go to discussion. The father holds you accountable to obeying and applying his established commands, rules, facts, and truth. The facilitator of change, on the other hand, liberates you from the father's authority, thus liberating you from his established commands, rules, facts, and truth. This is done in order for you and him to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates without having a guilty conscience, no longer having to fear the fear of being judged, condemned, and cast out for your and his immoral behavior. In the consensus process, all policies, rules, and laws are void of the father's authority system. This is why Irvin Laszlo, in a strategy for the future, the system's approach to world order, he's one of the guys who helped set up climate change. He writes, and this is a full quote, I just quoted the first part prior to this, quote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. And what he's saying here is negating the father's authority while establishing policy and or making law, that is, while establishing right and wrong behavior, using dialogue instead of discussion. In other words, I feel, I think, instead of I know because dad said so, the law says so. The true meaning of the word, discussion, because they'll use it, but it's not a true discussion. When it comes to establishing right and wrong behavior accomplishes the deed, that is, the praxis. Now, here's the quote again. Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests, that's common lust, and ultimately to world interests, that's world lust. Transforming public consensus, consensus means a feeling of oneness, into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus, Irvin Laszlo writes, is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. This is why the group grade, the diverse group of students, you have to have traditional, transitional mostly, and transformational students who know what's doing and play the game. You have to have that diverse group dialoguing, I feel, I think, to a consensus, a feeling of oneness on a group grade project, in a facilitated meeting, because it doesn't come naturally, to a predetermined outcome, that every decision is made through this process. And by doing it, in the outcome, there is no father's authority directing the outcome. It's all subject to change in the moment. Everything is subject to change. Now, I write, it is in the group you set aside or you compromise the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth. You suspend the truth as upon a cross in order, as in new world order, to initiate and sustain relationship. That relationship is based upon your and the other person's common self-interest, upon your and their lusts of the moment that you and they have in common. Now, here is Karl Marx's Fürbach thesis number 11, which is inscribed on his tomb, so it must be important. Quote, the philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. In other words, fathers demanding their children do what they say, as kings demand the citizens do what they say, cause division between the children, the people of the world, dividing them from one another upon what their father or the king commands, inhibiting or blocking change. Only by the children finding what they have in common, their lust for pleasure and their resentment towards restraint, can they become one. It is only in lust that the world stimulates and the hatred towards restraint that change can be initiated and sustained. This is an amazing quote in Karl Marx's critique of Hegel's philosophy of right. The justice of state constitutions is to be decided not on the basis of Christianity, not from the nature of Christian society. See, that would be the father's authority, but from the nature of human society. See, that's through the dialogue. Our highest court once recognized the effect of the Christian faith upon this nation and the world. Now, this is Strauss versus Strauss, 1941. This is a Supreme Court, this is a statement in the Supreme Court decision. Every system of law known to civilized society generated from or had its component one of two well-known systems of ethics, Stoic or Christian. The common law draws its subsistence from the latter, in other words, from the Christian. Its roots go deep into that system. The Christian concept of right and wrong or right and justice motivates every rule of equity. It is the guide by which we dissolve domestic frictions and the rule by which all legal controversies are settled. That's a Supreme Court decision. Recognizing common law comes from the Christian faith. But in Roe v. Wade, remember he mentioned the two, Stoic versus Christian? In Roe v. Wade, they write, there has always been strong support for the view, or opinion, that life does not begin until live birth. This was the belief of the Stoics. That's important to understand. America didn't understand. The Stoics were, it was dialogue. Christian faith is discussion. Dad says, the Word of God says, it is written. So Stoicism is an offshoot of the work of Heraclitus, who wrote, quote, every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the cities to the boys, or the city to the boys. Karl Marx based his ideology off of the work of Heraclitus, as the highest court in America has done, where lust is now established over and therefore against the father's authority, or the Constitution's authority. In Soviet law, Marxist ideology and Soviet criminal law by R.W. Makepeace and Krum Helm, we hear this, and this is one of those classic statements, jurisprudence of terror. Now, this can take place in a group grade because your child is having to compromise, like Lawrence Kohlberg's life raft dilemma. You have to kill somebody. So your child has to commit murder to take the test. He has to commit murder, kill himself or kill somebody else for the sake of the group. And that's terror. Deep, maybe deep. And you say, well, it's just a grade. No, it has a direct effect, even a subconscious effect upon the student taking the test. It's destroying right and wrong as an absolute. In other words, the group or society is more important than life itself. So here's the quote. Jurisprudence of terror takes two forms. Loosely defined rules, which produces unpredictable law, and spontaneous change in rules to best suit the state or the court. See, this is what, quote unquote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making has this is all accomplished. And that's when the courts or any institution goes to dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? They are circumventing, they're bypassing any established command, rule, fact, or truth for the sake, and it's all wrapped around the moment. That's why we always have crisis upon crisis upon crisis, because and climate change, all of these things push people to putting aside or suspending as on a cross. You have to suspend the Lord. Look, where is, in all your ways, acknowledge Him? It used to be, like in the Supreme Court, there was an acknowledgement of the Lord. Now, where is that in the law, in contracts? It's gone because we've gone to dialogue for so long. It's, how do you feel? What do you think? Everybody's entitled to their opinion. You tell somebody they're wrong, they'll just say, well, that's your opinion. You say, no, you're wrong. Well, that's your opinion. Well, you're wrong. No, that's your opinion. No, you're wrong. Forever. Without, quote, change taking place in education, change cannot be initiated and sustained. So the classroom was the key. Karl Marx, in Feuerbach Thesis number 3, said, concerning the change of circumstances by men, in other words, a change of the world, the educator must himself be educated. I think we'll go ahead and stop here. Well, it's only 20 minutes. All right, we'll go ahead. A change, and this is from Kenneth Benet, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. A change in the curriculum. Now, a curriculum is simply the structure for learning, the method being used to learn whatever it is you're learning. And it's the how you are learning as well. A change in the curriculum is a change in the people concerned, in teachers, in students, in parents. Curriculum change means that the group involved must shift its approval from the old to some new set of reciprocal behavior patterns. People involved who are loyal to the older pattern must be helped to transfer their allegiance to the new. Re-education aims to change the system of values and beliefs of an individual or a group. Martin Luther in the Protestant Reformation wrote, quote, "I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are white gates to hell. I would advise no one to send their child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt." Luther's work, Volume 1, The Christian in Society, page 207. Then he writes in his Luther's Works, Volume 32, this is where it's found, Career of the Reformer, number 2, page 258. "My advice has been that a young man avoid scholastic philosophy and theology like the very death of his soul." And what he was meaning by that is, it was the ideology of Aristotle and all philosophy that by creating a healthy environment, you can create, develop a healthy person. That is what Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation rejected. No man is righteous. Righteousness can only come and be imputed by God, by man's faith in the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father alone, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Karl Marx's response to education in his day was, and so it reflects the effect of Luther's thinking in education. Education, quote, "Education as yet is unable and unwilling to bring all estates and distinctions into its circle. Only Christianity and morality are able to found universal kingdoms on the earth." Now, we're going to go into Bloom's taxonomy next.